Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The general nominated to head the CIA has told at least one senator he would be open to changing a federal law to address the Bush administration's warrantless surveillance program. George Bush and other officials contend existing laws already allow eavesdropping on U.S. soil as an anti-terror tactic. The 1978 law set up a process in which national security agencies first asked permission from the federal court panel before monitoring Americans. Bush's program went around those rules, but Illinois Democratic Senator Richard Durbin says General Michael Hayden signaled that he would support congressional debate over changing that system. The House today passed a bill to deliver $70 billion in tax cuts to investors. Critics say middle-class earners will get very little relief out of that. The bill would extend the 15% tax rate on capital gains and dividends rates for 2 years. It's set to expire in 2008 right now. It also keeps 15 million families from being hit this year with the alternative minimum tax. George Bush says the new Medicare prescription drug program is not as complicated as some seniors think. Next Monday is the deadline to sign up without penalty, and Bush has been talking to seniors in Florida trying to encourage them to do that. Critics have complained it's confusing to sort through dozens of private drug plans that are being offered, but Bush told an audience in Orlando the choice is vital because not everybody's needs are the same, and he says help is available for anybody who needs it. Some 43 million Medicare beneficiaries are eligible for the new benefit, but millions have failed to sign up, and Bush admits many are nervous and concerned. A federal judge who had been mentioned last year as a possible Supreme Court nominee is quitting the bench to work for Boeing. Judge Michael Luttig has resigned from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, to take a job as the company's senior vice president and general counsel. Luttig says he wasn't looking to leave the court, nor did he expect to leave, but he says the job offer was something he couldn't pass up. He also denied that his decision had anything to do with being passed over for the Supreme Court nomination. Florida Governor Jeb Bush has made it clear he doesn't think Republican Congresswoman Katherine Harris can beat the incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson in the Senate race in Florida this year. But now the man that Bush thought would have a better chance has decided not to challenge Harris. Florida House Speaker Alan Bent says he's honored, but he's not running. This is Air America Radio News.
This is an add-on to Medicare. It is a part of Medicare. It's called Medicare Part D. In other words, the rest of Medicare exists.
God, it just, hey, I had a revelation today in listening to George Bush explain to a clutch of old folks about how the Medicare prescription drug plan was the greatest thing since Christ walked on the water, and watched him completely fall apart and wind up at the mercy of a group of old people who I thought were going to take their canes and wheelchairs and beat the living Christ out of him. And it didn't happen, but I had an epiphanous moment, an epiphany, and it's finally sunk into me. George Bush is surrounded by Nazis and neo-fascist totalitarians and O'Briens and Big Brothers, but George Bush is just a stupid ass. He really is not a Nazi. I don't know why it's taken me 6 years to realize that. He's a poser. He likes to dress up in you know, different kinds of clothing, like a flight suit or a tuxedo or blue jeans and cowboy boots. You know, he plays games like that. He's a simple-minded man. He likes to ride his bicycle and fall down, go boom, eat pretzels and drink beer, occasionally almost choke to death. But he really is just a doofus. Now, I'm not saying that doofuses can't be very harmful, but he's even more of a doofus than Ronald Reagan ever was. At least Reagan could memorize lines and play a scene for all it was worth. Bush can't even do that. So I had my moment today where it's finally sunk in. I've been so consumed with rage about what his handlers are doing and what the Republican Party has done for the past 10 years that I think my eyes were kind of clouded to the fact that this guy is just a silly ass. That's all he is. Now, again, that doesn't negate the dangerousness of George W. Bush. After all, he does, one supposes, at least it's written in the law, he does have access to the codes, you know, to end the world if he gets a burr up his butt, you know, just punch in the codes and it's all over. Somebody, you know, a few thousand light years from this planet will see in a few thousand years the light of this planet going up in a huge burst and becoming nothing but a crispy critter about the size of your average teacup. But in the meantime, we are being governed by a cabal of real Nazis, real evil, sick, mass murdery kind of people. But George Bush, you give George Bush a box of pickup sticks and a joint and his bicycle and, I don't know, some brush to cut and a pond to go fish in, he'll be very happy. Just leave him alone. He's so far out of his league. So to the people who love Bush because he's a born-again Christian and loves Jesus just down to the bottom of his soles of his feet, to all you people who truly love him, for that reason, above all others, you know, I deeply apologize for urinating all over your man here for the past 6 years, or attempting to. I can't. I'm speaking metaphorically. That means pretend like. But to you, Bible beating and Bible believing Christians who think that George is really Jesus' younger brother, I apologize. I wasn't taking you guys serious. But apparently you really mean it, and George is just a little fumbling, stumbling fool. So I begin tonight's program by asking, not begging, but asking humbly, not begging, but humbly asking, there's a difference, humbly asking for the forgiveness of all the Bush lovers out there who have been just kind of shocked when they have stumbled accidentally and only once across this program and heard me call him everything from a murderous son of a bitch to a psychopath. Let me offer up a very sincere, on the road to Damascus style, apology, because it suddenly, I don't know why today. Why today? I have no idea why today. I guess it was watching him in front of the old folks down in Florida. Was he in Florida, Kathy? Is that where that occurred? And we're going to have some of the, Sun City, Florida, near Tampa. We're going to have some sound for you of him talking to the old folks about his Medicare prescription drug benefit. Indeed, we're going to have that. And I guess that's what brought all this about. So to you Bush lovers, I declare unilaterally, but I declare a truce on this wounded puppy. Now, as far as the people who manage him and feed him and pull his strings and tuck him in at night and, you know, goose him when he needs goosing and medicate him when he needs medication, those people I still maintain are evil, murderous mass killers. There's no question there. But that's the reason they picked Bush, because he is highly malleable. He's just a little imp. Just a little imp.
I agree with everything you just said, except I do think that he is amoral in the sense that he just has no morality. I think him laughing when Carla Faye Tucker was executed and mocking her, I mean, I think that was real. I don't think he cares about people living or dying. I think he is just amoral in a very neutral kind of, you know, people dying overseas, oh, all right.
All right, but I would have to say that most religious fundamentalists are amoral. They replace real morality with a fake religious superstition. So saying that he's amoral, I would tend to agree with you, but I don't think that is necessarily a defining characteristic of Bush. That's a defining characteristic of every religious fundamentalist, no matter what the religion is.
And most drunk frat boys.
Well, that too.
He's a lethal combination of the both, as he was saying, juxtaposition of the both.
Of the both, yeah.
But I just wanted to point that out, because I do think that there is a sort of, you know, not a banality of evil, but a just sort of almost, in his case, a geniality of evil. Just he's just kind of, you know, evil by default, not because he's purposely evil like Cheney or Rumsfeld or Negroponte, I almost said Nosferatu, but, you know, the Eichmanns in the administration. I think he is just the amiable dunce, but, you know, by the same token, he doesn't care who's dead, who's alive,
all right,
who
but
he's killing.
But again, I think you're defining, you're defining Bush, and I don't disagree, but I think you're also defining most, if not all, and I would lean towards the all, religious fundamentalists. They are all, at bottom, evil as hell, because they invented evil and brought it into human consciousness. And in the final analysis, if you don't accept their belief, they condemn you to the worst sort of conjured evil that they can possibly come up with, and that is the eternal damnation of the core of your being. So if that's not evil, you know, please someone define it for me. You know, it's one thing to drop a bomb on Hiroshima and butcher 160,000 people in an eye blink. It's something else again to structure religion, Christianity I'm talking about, that's based on just a vile baseline that if you don't believe the way I believe, I'm a Christian, and if you don't believe the way I believe, not only is your body condemned, but your soul is condemned. And not for the time you're here on earth, but for all of freaking eternity. It just never stops. Now, if that's not evil, then evil doesn't exist. So George Bush, yeah, I agree with you, Kathy. He is evil by default, but that's only because he's a fundamentalist Christian. They are all evil by default. That's the backup position. Evilness of a caliber and depth and degree that is just astonishing. Astonishing.
But you're right. In terms of his policies and whatnot, he's certainly not the architect.
Oh, no. I don't. I think the last thing that Bush ever put together for himself on his own was a line of cocaine in some flight training school someplace just before he was supposed to go take a physical, and that's why he took off for the Outlands. All right, weird start to the program tonight. We'll get serious here. Coming back, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Ideology of hate.
Terror.
War on terrorism.
War against terrorism.
Global war on terror.
Global terrorism.
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 Evil terrorists.
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 Terrorist,
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 terrorist.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
We'll be right back.
keep our promises to the elderly in America. This requires a sense that of urgency.
Past the hour. Okay, the emails are rolling in now about my opening gambit. Let me just read one here. Bridget writes in, "You're right that he is basically a dumbass," referring to Bush, "ignorant, uneducated, non-inquisitive, and not interested in anything except catching a 6.5-pound perch. But he's more than that. He's a mean son of a bitch. Remember the little boy who loved putting firecrackers in frogs and blowing them up? That defines him, and that kind of meanness has nothing to do with the fundamentalist Christian stuff. He likes torture. He likes war. He likes blowing things up. The world is a big video game to him, and that is what's dangerous. He's a psychopath, Mike, and a stupid one, a really dangerous combination. I'm with Kathy on this one." Okay, well, am I going to have another epiphanous moment? I don't disagree with that. Somebody else sent me an email here and said, more or less, it's about time you woke up that Bush is that Bush is really just a front man, that he only does what he's told to do. He writes, "Glad you are finally figuring Bush out. He's adult. He was installed in office because he was the best candidate to fulfill the needs of his handlers. He was chosen, all right, but not by a deity. He is a true dupe." This is from Pangaea. Oh, okay, I like that name, Pangaea. But don't misunderstand. I've not given him any credit for being an original thinker since he was governor of Texas. For sure. I just mean I got caught up in my own rage against the people who are destroying my country, destroying what this country stands for, as well as destroying it literally and physically. And I started to tend to lump Bush into that entire group. I agree with Bridget. He's an evil little bastard. But it's the banality of evil that Hannah Arendt talked about. He's a twit and a twerp.
To keep that analogy going, I think what you're meaning, and correct me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but he's not like a Hitler. I mean, he's an evil little twerp, but he's not smart. I mean, he's not the orchestrator of the evil.
He's executing
these plans. They're all these little mini Nazis behind the scenes pulling the strings. He is just a great big puppet.
That's true.
Now, he goes along with it because he's either too stupid or, in my opinion, both too stupid and just not moral. He doesn't care.
Okay.
I'll shut up.
I hear you loud and clear. All right, kid, do we have time to just do this first one of him today? Okay, let's do the first one. Here's the decider educating a group of totally mystified seniors about the Medicare prescription drug benefit. This happened at the Kings Point Clubhouse in Sun City Center, Florida. Now, after he welcomed the crowd and greeted an older man in a wheelchair by telling him, "You look mighty comfortable." Christ. Bush stammered around about one of his favorite topics, drugs, a different context. But poor Debbie can't catch a break in his second term. This is really his last shot at leaving some kind of a positive impression on older and very reliable voters. This November, and he can't even manage this right. Before he opened up to a Q&A from this totally perplexed audience, he tried his only chuckle nuts can to educate them, right, as to how the super confusing system will work, given the fact that there are 46 different plans available to people that sometimes have a hard time finding their way from the bedroom to the bathroom. But what's really funny is how Bush admits his idea is, he admits it, that it's totally confusing. So he's going to leave the explaining to the AARP, the NAACP, and the general population to explain it to the seniors. Unbelievable. He can't even get his slam dunk program right.
What's interesting about the new program is it provides choices for seniors. You know, I knew that when we laid out the idea of giving seniors choices, it would create a little confusion for some. I mean, after all, up to now, there hadn't been many choices in the system. And all of a sudden, a senior who feels pretty good about things says, "Here's old George W. or Mike Levitt or Jeb or somebody say, take a look," and all of a sudden 46 choices pop up. So how do we handle the 40 different drugs? Well, we encouraged all kinds of people to help. AARP is helping. NAACP is helping. Sons and Daughters are helping. Faith-based programs are helping people sort through the programs to design a program that meets their needs. It's if you're a son or a daughter, and your mom or dad is eligible for Medicare, and he or she hasn't signed up, I believe the son or a daughter has a duty to help the mom or dad understand what's available. That's what sons and daughters are supposed to do. That's called love. And a loving son or daughter should take a look and help their folks realize, you know, what's possible. And so that's why I'm here. I'm here doing my duty as educator-in-chief. It's to say to people from around this part of the world and those who may be watching over the airways, it's a good deal.
Jesus Christ. He says that's what sons and daughters are supposed to do. Even the ones with PhDs can't figure it out. That's called love. No, that's called crappy program design, chuckle nuts.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed, or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactiv? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactiv will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactiv prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
So the decider is explaining to totally mystified and nonplussed seniors his Medicare prescription drug benefit. He was at Sun City Center, Florida today at the Kings Point Clubhouse there. And kind of recapping that that first soundbite, you know, he's standing there telling people that his, or he claims it's his. I'm sure he couldn't answer the first question about it. Well, he's made that very clear. He doesn't know how to explain this, and he recaps the fact that he doesn't know how to explain it, which is his way of answering a question. You know, if somebody says, well, how does this work? You know, I should know how it works, but I don't. See, that's his way of answering the question. You have to go to AARP, go to the NAACP, sons and daughters. So it's up to the relatives and caretakers and organizations of seniors to explain it to each other, since it's unexplainable. This can't be explained. How, you know, what happens when you go into, I don't know, because I'm not included in this yet, but what happens when you go into a drugstore and you have six medications or five medications and you ask the druggist, and isn't the druggist forbidden by law to tell you which plan to pick? Wasn't that written into it? See, this plan is not designed to benefit seniors, and everybody knows this. It's designed to put heaps and heaps and heaps of more cash in one of the three or four industries that is very supportive of Bush, and that's the pharmaceutical industry. This has nothing to do with helping old people get their medicine. Nothing. Nothing. And when he says that, you know, if he says, I believe the son or a daughter has a duty to help mom and dad understand what's available. Now, in your wildest imagination, can you picture this ignorant little bastard going to Barbara, you know, the evil mothership, and George Herbert Walker, and saying, hey, sit down, folks, I want to explain this to you. Sit down. No, I can't either. He says that's what sons and daughters are supposed to do. That's called love. So I guess then what he's saying is, if you don't explain it to your parents, even I couldn't explain it to anybody. I couldn't explain it to myself. But if you don't do that, you don't love your parents. You hateful little snot. Jesus loves you, though. So he says, so that's why I'm here. I'm here doing my duty as educator-in-chief. Well, he's failing at that, too, because we only have a couple more clips here, but at no point today did he explain it. He didn't educate anybody about this asinine, half-witted plan for the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, it's not an asinine and half-witted plan for the pharmaceutical companies. It's a wonderful plan. It's manna from heaven, so to speak. It's like the energy plan for oil companies. It's like his wars for defense contractors. It's like that. This has nothing to do with medications for old people. So Bush shows up at the clubhouse to edumacate the seniors on these different 46 plans that are available. And he doesn't even bring a pamphlet to explain it all. There's nothing. There's no Social Security publication 23-A-67/43.9.7. He didn't even bring that with him. So this one audience member says, Mr. President, I find there's a dearth of literature. And see right there, as soon as he said the dearth of literature, Mensa man just loses it. But anyway, he says, Mr. President, I find there's a dearth of literature about the new programs. I just don't see any pamphlets or books around, which there should be. So I want to ask, if you do sign up, and I don't know what it's all about, truthfully, I'm computer fearful, so I'm not, I'm computer illiterate. What am I supposed to do?
That's a great question. Literature. There's all kinds of literature, and I can't answer the question as to why there. No, I don't. Well, there's not any literature. You haven't seen it yet. I know, but I will try to find out why you haven't seen any here.
Yeah. Okay.
Secondly, you're not alone when it comes to saying I'm a little frightened about getting on the computer. You're not the only person I've heard say that.
That's where everything is.
And therefore,
oriented that
one
way.
Of the things that centers such as this do is provide help with people who are computer literate. This is an add-on to Medicare. It is a part of Medicare. It's called Medicare Part D. The rest of Medicare exists. People say to me, well, I'm feeling pretty healthy, and I'm not taking a lot of prescription drugs, I'm not going to sign up. My advice is sign up because you don't know when you're going to have to start taking prescription drugs.
By God, he's right. In fact, listening to this jackass's nonsensical education, I feel the need for some prescription drugs right now. Ativan, please, somebody, for Christ's sake, give me an Ativan. What is this? He says, that's a great question. Literature. There's all kinds of literature. That's like, you know, books without pictures. And as far as being afraid of computers, he says, oh, okay, you're not the only person I've heard say that. And he goes on to say in his inimitable way, and therefore one of the things that centers such as this do is provide help with people who are computer literate. Oh, my God. Oh, please. Save me. Save me. Oh. This is an add-on to Medicare, he assures the old folks there. Like, oh, really? We didn't know that. It is a part of Medicare, hence the term add-on. I understand. It's called Medicare Part D. Ask Bush, what is Medicare Part A, B, and C sometime? If you really, you know, if you're in a position to ask this ignorant little twerp, when he says, well, it's Part D. Oh, yeah. What is A, B, and C? How about E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, V, W, X, Y? And it goes on to just so he's not getting people confused when he says it's called Medicare Part D. He says, in other words, the rest of Medicare exists. It hasn't been sent to the cornfield. It still exists. My advice is sign up because you don't know when you're going to have to start taking prescription drugs. Well, you silly twit. Everybody in there wants to sign up. That's the point. They don't know how! Oh! Okay, so he continues to edumacate this group of mystified seniors. Now, file this Q&A under How to Stump a Moron. You got that? How to Stump a Moron. An audience member stands up and said, Mr. President, I think there's major deficiencies in this drug program. The first major issue, I think the program is going to be a lot more expensive both to the user and to the taxpayer than it needs to be because we don't allow Medicare to negotiate directly with the pharmaceutical companies. Listen to the, listen to this, this old, is this, was this an old man or an old woman? Listen to this old guy. This could wind up, Mr. President, costing the taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 10 years. Another thing, sir, the insurance companies are allowed to change their formulary once a person is in the program. But a person is not allowed to get out of it until the end of the year. Mr. President, this is legalized bait and switch operation for the insurance companies. And it's dangerous for our seniors. And third, I have a report here from Families USA, yay, indicating that the poorest people that are affected by this program are not being helped. Now, there's so much in that question/presentation from the audience member, so much that the chimp has no comprehension whatsoever of what was just said. So he has to actually tell people not to sign up for the very program he's there urging folks to sign up for. It's a circus. And the scary thing is, this is supposed to be the good part of the sick, filthy, putrid Republicans' agenda. Now, the audience you hear clapping here at the beginning is clapping because of the question/presentation. Listen to this.
First of all, if a senior takes a look at the program and doesn't think it saves his or her money, they shouldn't sign up. All I can tell you is that the program is costing less than anticipated, and this program is going to benefit a lot of seniors because there is more choice for seniors.
Oh, good.
Now, the idea of control, this won't help us control health care costs. One, I disagree with that. I think more choices for consumers, the better off we are.
Like your gas
I think
company.
You and I may have a different vision of health care. I thank you for bringing it up. But, look, if people don't like it, they don't have to sign up for it.
What? Oh, my God. Way to get him to sign up, you half-witted moron! Oh yeah, it's going to benefit a lot of seniors because there's more choice for seniors. And if you want to see how effective that is, take a look at your gas company or your electric company. Take a look at deregulation, how that saved you a lot of money. Your phone, well, maybe the phone company, but take a look at it, Truth Seeker, Senior Truth Seeker. Jesus, God. But I just love his kind of cavalier waving off the entire issue. Well, people don't like it. They don't have to sign up for it. Screw you. This is my best shot, you old bastards. If you don't like it, I'm going to go find something to shoot. I'm out of here, man. Get out of my face. Now what's Turd Blossom going to do about this? There goes his major plan, Turd Blossom's major plan to win midterm voters with that ridiculous non-answer to a very important question. You think that's going to work, Turd Blossom? You know, Karl Rove, when he heard that today, he even forgot that he's going to be indicted in about 48 hours and just slapped his forehead and went, oh, Christ, oh, my God, I should have stayed Jewish.
Just more guys and gals.
Oh, I'm the president and I'm okay. A bomb all night and a drill all day. I cut down trees, I cut down schools and leave no child behind. What's 87 billion? I'm sure the kids...
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I certainly never dreamt that I'd be the president.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away.
You know, one thing that wasn't addressed by Chuckle Nuts, what if the senior who doesn't understand this and needs their children to help them doesn't have children? What if they don't have nieces and nephews? What if they don't have, anybody? Did anybody come up with that one? Oh, well. All right, here's the last one. Well, I got two left here. No, actually, just one. This is a lot. This is a little bit of back and forth. Here he is, the decider, edumacating these seniors down in Sun City Center, Florida. Last bit of brilliant education from Manor Monkey for the evening here. The audience member stands up and says, "If people cannot make a decision by May 15th, see, that's the deadline. When is that? Is that Saturday? When is it? When's What is it? What does the calendar say? Monday? So the old person stands up and said, if people cannot make a decision by May 15th, will they be penalized? Or will there be another time period where they can sign up?
Depends upon whether you're eligible for extra benefits, a low-income senior, or not. If you're a low-income senior, there'll be no penalties.
So then there will be, there will not be another sign-up fee.
There'll be continued sign-up, but there won't be sign-up at the same rates at which you could. Deadlines are important.
Okay.
Deadlines help people understand there's finality, and people need to get after it, you know?
Thank God. Thank God your expiration date is approaching, Chuckle Nuts. What? Will you cue that up and play it again? Here's someone who's concerned about, remember the deadline, see? This was to force old people to do this. This was the other benefit from the pharmaceutical companies. There would be no bulk buying by Medicare. A government agency denied the right to buy in bulk. I mean, this is rape. This is absolute forcible sexual intercourse. Rape! By the pharmaceutical companies with the Bush crime family as the pimp. And America's old people tied, arms and legs spread apart on the nearest bed of iron. Here it is. And this poor person just says, if we can't make a decision by May 15th, will we be penalized?
Depends upon whether you're eligible for extra benefits, a low-income senior, or not. If you're a low-income senior, there'll be no penalties.
So then there will be. Yeah. There will not be another sign-up fee.
There'll be continued sign-up, but there won't be sign-up at the same rates at which you could. Deadlines are important.
What?
Okay.
Deadlines help people understand there's finality, and people need to get after it, you know?
Oh, my God. So there you have it. Those are the most important moments from Bush's little foray into Sun City Center's clubhouse today to edumacate the senior folks down there who probably just wish that there was universal health care in this country, single-payer health care that included a simple prescription drug plan that is set up like this. If your doctor prescribes medicine, you go to the drugstore with your prescription and get it. If your doctor prescribes medicine, you go to the drugstore and get it. Now, if that's too simple, you can add, comma, with a $5 copay, or, comma, the single-payer plan will pay 90% of it, or, comma, that's all you need to know. Isn't that easy? Now, a prescription drug plan tacked on to Medicare for older people, older Americans, that was truly designed to help us, to help sort through a death grip that yet another Bush-sucking industry has on us, the pharmaceutical industry. If the real intent were to help people, it would be that simple. Go to your doctor. If he prescribes or she prescribes medication, take the prescription to the drugstore and get it.
But where's the incentive for Republicans to vote for that? That didn't pay off the insurance companies or the pharmaceutical companies. That just helps a bunch of old people who, you know, all they do is vote.
Yeah, well, and some of them for not very much longer. You know, you have to figure that, hell, the next presidential election isn't for over 2.5 years. You know, statistically, how many of our senior citizens are going to be alive 2.5 years from now? So why get our panties, our Bermudas, and wad over something like that?
Especially if they can't afford their drugs.
If they can't afford their drugs, well, they'll probably die sooner. The brilliance of this, the genius of this, it's incredible. The only thing missing is a third-rate Dr. Mengele somewhere in the background, chuckling and chortling and laughing and putting little check marks in a ledger book somewhere. You think?
You mean like Bill Frist?
All right. Break here. We'll be back. Do stay with us. We're going to be talking a couple more quick hitters when we come back, and then onward and upward to your phone calls. All right. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Over 1,700 schools in the U.S. are falling short of requirements under the No Child Left Behind education law. That means they've been ordered into radical restructuring or subject to mass firings, closing, state takeover, or other moves. Many are finding resolutions short of those drastic measures. But there's growing concern the number of schools in serious trouble under the No Child Left Behind law is rising sharply. It was up 44% in the last year alone and is expected to increase by thousands in the next few years. Schools make the list by falling short in math or reading for at least five straight years. In perspective, the total amounts to 3% of roughly 53,000 schools that get federal poverty aid, and they face penalties under the law. Idaho Governor Dirk Kempthorne's nomination as Interior Secretary has cleared the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, but procedural delays could stall final confirmation on the Senate floor. No senator on the committee voted against him, but Democrat Mary Landrieu voted present, and she says that was to protest the Bush administration's refusal to share royalties from offshore petroleum with Gulf Coast states. Landrieu and Senator Bill Nelson of Florida have said they plan to put a hold on Kempthorne's nomination after it gets out of committee. Nelson says he's against an Interior Department proposal to allow oil and gas drilling off the Gulf of Mexico. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says a new sanctions or benefits offer from U.N. allies makes it plain what will happen if Iran chooses to go ahead with an unsupervised nuclear program. Rice admitted tougher U.N. Security Council action is on hold for now while European diplomats try to make one more diplomatic overture to Iran. Rice says Iran can either defy the international community and face isolation or travel a path with a civilian nuclear program acceptable to the international community. Will Jeb Bush run for president? George Bush today said his younger brother Jeb would make a great president. I asked him about making a run. Their father supports the idea. There would be three Bush presidents. Jeb is currently the Republican governor of Florida with an approval rating of 55%. However, Jeb Bush has repeatedly said he will not be a candidate for president in 2008. He ends his second term as governor in January. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I got an email today from Rick, who lives in Hollywood, Florida. And he writes, he says, I'm a Vietnam War vet. I received a Bronze Star, an Army Accommodation Medal, and a Purple Heart. I was wounded 3 times on the same day. I was hit in the hand, which was superficial, shot in the arm, and later a mortar took out a personnel carrier, and I got a head full of shrapnel. The docs got most of the pieces out, but 13 pieces remain. I've suffered from extreme headaches through the years. Initially, I did the VA gauntlet, but between the miles and time needed to plead for drugs, was not worth that which was lost in productivity. I work 2 menial jobs. It seems to me that the VA has purposefully made the gauntlet to discourage those needing their service. The past few years, I've been using the Internet to acquire my meds. When the Medicare drug bill was a done deal, coincidentally, the state of Florida refused all Internet drugs over the state line. In a month or so, the ban was lifted. Now, as the deadline for signing up is but a week away, the coincidence is back and the ban is on again. I've called several Internet pharmacies, and they all say that they were given no reasoning behind the ban. If it smells like, I can't say it, it's got to be the crime family rearing its ugly head yet once again. I most likely have this coming for those deeds passed, but what of everyone else depending on their life-saving medications? I will suffer on with my ever-growing hate for these rabid beasts. Thanks for the opportunity to vent. Rick in his last name. Well, Rick, that last little bit there, you might have this coming for past deeds. I have a lot of trouble with that, believing that that some action in the past equals a, or causes a reaction here in what is now the future. I don't know, but I hear what you're saying. This too will pass. This part of the Bush crime family will pass. I hope your meds start coming via the internet again. And I'm sorry for what you went through. All right, very quickly, a couple of people have sent this to me tonight. You remember when I had on this program a woman who was one of the chief organizers for the worldcan'twait.org. Sansara Taylor, I believe her name was. And they have been involved in demonstrations and political action around the country against George W. Bush and the Bush crime family. Well, this has to do with the Cleveland, Ohio area. Back on April 28th, after a 5-day trial, a woman named Carol Fisher was found guilty of 2 counts of assault on a police officer for posting a sign announcing the World Can't Wait's protest against Bush's State of the Union address. Now, if I remember the case, she was posting a sign on a telephone pole or a light pole. And I guess every city, I know here in the Decatur, Georgia area, there are the ordinances against posting the signs. So the cops came up to her and started manhandling her. And what happened next resulted in her being arrested and tried. Now, she was put on trial, found guilty, and her sentencing will be on June 2nd. Now, at worldcan'twait.org, it lays all this out. You can check it out. Go to worldcan'twait.org. Scroll down about halfway on. Well, first you got to get to the main page. It'll say click here for the main page. When you get to the main page, scroll down. You'll find the story. They say from the beginning this trial was stacked against this woman. It was meant to be a message to anyone who thinks or acts outside the box. The judge involved in this, someone named Judge McGinty, during the trial wouldn't allow Carol or her attorneys the ability to put up a proper defense. The only relevant testimony was that provided by the state. It goes on to say no politics was allowed into the trial, nothing about the brutal and arrogant reputation of the Cleveland Heights police, nothing about how Carol was the one assaulted by the police and then humiliated at University Hospital when she was taken there for her injuries. It goes on to say the testimony of a courageous EMS worker who was afraid for Carol's safety from the police rampage
That testimony was cut to a mere 4 minutes. Only one character witness was allowed, and then only for a couple of minutes. The judge refused to inform the jury of a serious lie by the prosecution during closing testimony. But even after the verdict, she was found guilty on two counts. It still wasn't over. The judge actually praised the professionalism of these cops and said, quote, they have a bright future, end quote. He then ordered Carol Fisher to submit to a psychological exam as part of the pre-sentencing investigation. He said that he thinks she might have, his words, a martyr complex. The judge told this woman that she better be prepared to apologize at her sentencing or else, quote, bring your toothbrush with you, end quote. Now, Carol Fisher states for the record she's not going to apologize for anything about anything. Yesterday, May 9th, here's the follow-up. The judge in this case, McGinty, orders this woman, Judge Timothy McGinty, orders this woman, Carol Fisher, to be forcibly incarcerated in the psych unit of the Cuyahoga County Jail in downtown Cleveland, where she now sits for an indefinite period of time. It says here, in a hastily called hearing yesterday, Judge McGinty made a highly unusual and outrageous decision to force Carol to undergo a state psychological exam as part of her pre-sentencing investigation. From the very start of Carol's case, the judge has openly said that she must have mental problems for resisting an unlawful and brutal encounter with Cleveland Heights police. He went even further in yesterday's hearing, saying that her opposition to the Bush regime makes her, quote, delusional, end quote. The small courtroom on the 21st floor of the Justice Center was ringed with five armed court bailiffs. Judge McGinty started off the hearing by making Carol stand up and had one of the attorneys read her T-shirt, which said, wanted for illegally crossing borders, the Bush regime. And then in the fine print, you've seen those T-shirts before that, you know, they make their slogan and then they go on. And it said in the fine print in her T-shirt, if you're going to insist that crossing borders illegally is a crime, which cannot be tolerated, how about George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, and yes, Colin Powell and the rest of that gang with their highly illegal and violent crossing of the border into Iraq, among other places. The judge then said, after the attorney read the T-shirt, that this was proof of her delusion. He also kept saying this woman wants to go to jail. When Carol Fisher tried to explain why she wouldn't take the psychological test, the judge's only response was, quote, I do not negotiate with felons, end quote. So she, the case, this woman posted a Bush step-down poster on a telephone pole, was attacked by the police. In the process, there was a scuffle, and she now faces 3 years in prison and a mandatory psychological exam. One of this woman's attorneys, one Terry Gilbert, said, quote, this is gulag stuff, saying that people who are dissidents are crazy. And he added that in his 33 years of practicing law, he's never seen anything like this. In addition to sending her to the psych unit, Judge McGinty has also put her on suicide watch. And as a result of that, they have taken away her eyeglasses. If she continues to refuse the psychological exam, she will be forcibly sent to North Coast Mental Institute for a 20-day evaluation. Jesus H. Christ. All right, now, what can you do about it? Well, I don't know. I have no idea. But you can go to worldcan'twait.org and figure out what to do about it. There is something you can do about it. I'm sure. I don't know what it is, but there's something to do about it, right? I remember when this case occurred. I remember getting the email, and I think somebody posted a video of this woman being jerked around because she was trying to put up a poster. And now she's being threatened with incarceration in a mental hospital. What was the novel? One Day in the Life of Ivan Ivanovich, or something like that.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Flying Monkey Right Blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
I told him once or twice.
21 past the hour, and then there's this, the non-nuclear explosion that was said by members of the Department of Energy or a certain spokesman from the Department of Energy, that it would generate a huge mushroom cloud over the Nevada desert will be postponed at least 3 weeks while a federal court reviews plans for the blast. That's according to test officials who released this information yesterday. I don't know how I missed it yesterday. Sherry Abdelnour, who is a spokeswoman for the Defense Threat Reduction Agency at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, said, quote, the planned Divine Strike experiment will not be conducted earlier than June 23rd. And a spokesman for the National Nuclear Security Administration in North Las Vegas confirmed the date change but declined further comment. In documents filed Monday with the district court in Las Vegas, federal Justice Department lawyers sought to push back from May 23rd until early June a hearing on a lawsuit filed by the Winnemucca Indian Colony and several Nevada and Utah downwinders to block the blast. Nevada's Division of Environmental Protection said that agency is reviewing a revised environmental assessment that test planners filed last Friday, and so on and so on. The lawsuit claims the planned 700-ton ammonium nitrate and fuel oil bomb will kick up radioactive fallout left from nuclear weapons tests conducted over a 40-year period at the Nevada test site and irreparably desecrate land that members of the Western Shoshone tribe have never acknowledged turning over to the U.S. The blast is expected to generate a 10,000-foot mushroom cloud and a shockwave that officials say will probably be felt in Indian Springs, about 35 miles northwest of Las Vegas. The Federal Defense Threat Reduction Agency claims the explosion will help design a weapon to penetrate hardened and deeply buried targets, and critics are calling it a surrogate for a low-yield nuclear bunker buster bomb. So that's all according to the Associated Press. It has been postponed, apparently, to let this lawsuit work its way through the courts, but probably, most probably, just to let the publicity die down. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Folks have been very patient. So shall we begin? Let's start with Michael, who's called in from the Bronx. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm feeling better, thank God. I was
good.
Sick a couple of days ago.
Oh, no. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes. Listen, did you by chance check out Meet the Press last Sunday with Nancy Pelosi?
No, I missed Press the Meet because I had other things to do. I was sleeping.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, Nancy Pelosi was touching issues regarding what the GOP's fear that if the Democrats take over Congress, there's going to be immediate impeachment against Bush and company.
Yeah, now I've seen that little segment of videotape where Nancy Pelosi said, "No, we're not going to impeach." And I know that Howard Dean said the same thing, that there is no plan. Dean was on Sunday on This Week with George Stephanopoulos, so. I don't know what the deal is here, Michael. I know
what the deal is. I do, because
it's just a cover story.
Well, the situation is this: that there's a major difference between the Republicans and Democrats. Remember, when Republicans were so hot on the impeachment, and which Hillary called a right wing conspiracy against Clinton,
right.
And they bring impeachment over the stupidest stuff that is without merit. Now the Democrats, they will have. Subpoena power,
right.
To open up a flood of investigation, stuff that has been covered up. And as Nancy Pelosi said, we let the facts and the evidence take us whichever course is necessary. And that's the right way to go about doing things. But you see, the Republicans are under such a panic attack. There's got to be a hell of a lot more stuff than we know, and they're just afraid that, you know, do you know what? It's hitting the fan, and it's to the point now I've given a new meaning to the GOP, meaning game over, punks.
Okay.
I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
All right, it is. It is. All right, Michael, thanks. Let me move on. I appreciate you checking in. I'm glad you're feeling better. Dennis is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. Super. I was just wondering, have you read about or heard about a book called The New Pearl Harbor?
Yes, absolutely.
You have? Okay.
Yes.
I haven't talked about that much, and I think it's a great book. I just picked it up by David Ray Griffin.
Right. We had David. We had Mr. Griffin or Dr. Griffin on this program. So, yeah, I'm familiar with it. I think people should just read the book. you know, rather than try to discuss it on the air, which then tends to make people think, oh, well, I don't need to go read it. No, no, people need to read it.
Absolutely. Go out and read it. Get the book and read it. It's the best written book on the topic of 9/11 and the cause of 9/11, the real cause of 9/11 that it's just very, very clear.
You're absolutely right. Thanks, Dennis. I appreciate you checking in with that info. But yeah, we had Dr. Griffin on, and I strongly recommend that people read it. Break. We'll be back. Stay with us. Malloy here on Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed, or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactiv? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactiv will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactiv prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
we tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
Oh, Christ. That'd be about 6 months ago, wouldn't it, George? Hillary Clinton says George W. Bush has charm and charisma. Did you see this? Asked to say one nice thing about Bush, Senator Clinton went one better. She named two things. She said he is someone who has a lot of charm and charisma. Clinton says that despite their, quote, many disagreements about many, many issues, quote, she has always had a good personal relationship with the president. Clinton said, quote, he's been very willing to talk, he's been affable, he's been good company, close quote. That's at rawstory.com if you want to go get the whole thing. Here's something else that is linked at Raw Story, and that Mary Cheney, one of the daughters of Cyborg Man. Mary Cheney calls John Kerry a son of a bitch for using gays for political gain, which, of course, John Kerry never did. I would hate to be Mary Cheney for a number of reasons. Or let me put it a different way. I would hate to be the gay offspring of non-gay parents whose entire political agenda is designed to minimize me, deny me, make me go away, and demonstrate with proposed legislation and political points that I am less than human. And this is what Mary Cheney has had to deal with. Now, how she's processed this is only between her and her whatever goes on in her life. But the Republican Party, of which her father is the chief spokesman at this point, the chief, the head Republican, you know, forget George, has used the gay issue in the most vile way possible, over and over, repeatedly. Remember, it was Karl Rove who, back when Bush was running for re-election in Texas, suggested that Ann Richards, then governor of Texas, was gay, and the way Karl Rove did it was in a television commercial that showed two men touching one another. Now, this is what Mary Cheney lives with. This is what she's lived with all of her life. She knows that she has parents who, regardless of their private points of view or conversations, puts out a public persona that is virulently anti-gay, and that her father and her father's running mate are backed by organizations in this society who literally would like to see Mary Cheney murdered and every other homosexual murdered. Just taken out and murdered. So, Mary Cheney calls John Kerry a son of a bitch and also said that he should go F himself because of what was said by Cheney and then John Edwards when it was brought up, when someone brought up. I believe it was Kerry brought it up. The fact that Mary Cheney happens to be a lesbian and her father and her father's running mate utterly poison the atmosphere where it concerns gay people.
I'm pretty sure that was Edwards at the vice presidential debate.
But then Kerry picked up on it, too, because she is referring to Kerry as a son of a bitch. Now, Mary Cheney refuses to say anything about members of the Bush crime family. Forget her father and mother. Her father and mother are who they are. It's her father and mother. But other members of the Bush crime family and its supporters. Mary Cheney refuses to hold them accountable for their homophobia, their virulent homophobia. It's beyond homophobia. It's the admonitions to kill gays. If they won't convert back to being normal people, then according to the book of Leviticus or Genesis or wherever the hell these Christian thugs get their marching orders, then the queers should be taken out and murdered. Murdered. Killed. Mary Cheney said of Bush, I think he's a very good man on these issues, gay issues. He hasn't caught up. But regarding Kerry and Edwards, who she accuses of sleazy politics for mentioning she was gay during debates with Bush and her father. She says, John Kerry didn't out me, nor did he offend or attack me by calling me a lesbian. It wasn't a secret that I was gay, and I certainly couldn't be offended by the truth. What was offensive was that he was obviously trying to use me and my sexual orientation for his own political gain. Jesus Christ, girl, are you so out of touch with reality? You have just described what your father and every single filthy, degenerate Republican in the House and the Senate and your father's running mate and every member of the cabinet and every single Republican in America has done. Use you and your sexual orientation for political gain. What the hell is wrong with you, Mary Cheney? Is your million-dollar closet that protected? Sitting in the studio audience when Edwards mentioned her sexual orientation, Cheney said she looked at the vice presidential candidate, John Edwards, and mouthed the words, "Go yourself," a phrase that her father had earlier employed against Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy. This is at rawstory.com, too, if you want to check it out. A Kerry spokesman said today that Mary Cheney had, quote, flacked for the most anti-gay administration in history. The spokesman, David Wade, said, quote, seems like a suspicious lecture from a political operative, Mary Cheney, who flacked for the most anti-gay administration in history and allowed Karl Rove to divide America for political gain. Wade went on to say she'd be more credible if she pushed her dad's administration to support hate crimes legislation and equal rights for gay Americans, end quote. It's in a book that the Mary Cheney has written. That's astonishing to me. I mean, loyalty to one's parents is one thing, but I've never believed that blind loyalty, a public blind loyalty of this degree, when there are millions of people in this country who suffer every day the kind of hate, the kind of attitude, the kind of disgust and distrust and revulsion that Mary Cheney is protected from because her father is the vice president. And Mary Cheney will not speak out for gay rights. She will not speak out for same-sex marriage. She will not speak out in favor of hate crimes legislation to stop the violence against people who, like her, happen to be homosexual. But she will speak out and call John Kerry a son of a bitch and mouth to John Edwards, go yourself. And I wonder how she feels when she's in the same room with Karl Rove, who literally uses gender orientation as a means of activating their psychotic, mouth-breathing Republican base. The queers are going to get you. That includes Mary Cheney. Mary Cheney wants to come into your house and rape your daughter. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Ann Richards. God. All right. Let's go back to some phone calls. I just wanted to get that out there. James is calling from California. James, welcome to the program.
Yeah, El Sobrante, California.
Where?
El Sobrante. It's in the Bay Area, you know. Yeah. 10 miles north of Berkeley.
Gotcha.
Yeah, nice place. What I wanted to talk about was basically the idea that you know, I hear a lot of people say that people who aren't citizens of this country, you know, don't deserve any of the protections of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that if the Democrats, you know, do get back into Congress or whatever, say maybe there's a Democrat/Green coalition government type of thing going on, maybe, for instance,
uh-huh.
One of the things they should do, I don't know if this would be practicable or not, but pass some kind of bill so that anything that's done in foreign policy has to be in accordance with the principles of the Declaration of Independence, you know, the so-called self-evident God-given rights.
Right, right.
You know, and, you know, because, I mean, we've got, look, during the Reagan administration, Congress tried to step in into foreign policy, and they just went around the law, and then Bush won, pardoned those people, and now those people are serving in this administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's like, look at what happened to that war protester and put that next to the story that you were just talking about there. Sort of like, no matter who you are, even if you're somebody that we're talking about as being evil, if you submit to our authority, we'll go light on you, you know?
Right.
But if you don't, it's dot, dot, dot. You know what I'm
saying? Right, right. Yeah, this Bush crime family is unique in American political history. Hopefully, they will be gotten rid of, and we will have learned a lesson, and hopefully we'll never see the likes of this kind of swine again, although that may be wishful thinking on my part.
Well, you know, they might be unique in American history, but they're not, you know, unique in world history.
Oh, no, of course not. But our system was set up to try to guard against thugs like this ever seizing power, and apparently the safeguards weren't tight enough. James, I have to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after this break, Truth Seekers. Stick around. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations, like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny. Try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let's go to Mike, who's calling in from Chicago. Mike, welcome to the program. Hey, Mike.
Are you talking to me?
No. Aren't you Noah in Denver? Oh, well, now you're gone. Mike in Chicago.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I always thought that Mary Cheney thing would get along good with Karl Rove because of the Jeff Gannon thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, last night I was sitting on the couch watching C-SPAN, and I was watching the confirmation hearing for Brett Kavanaugh, who's up for a judgeship on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia.
Oh, right. Yeah. People for the American Way are really advocating against this jerk.
It's unbelievable because, just like you said a couple nights ago, you said, you know, just when you thought things would get a little bit better, it just gets worse. And Durbin gets up there, and he starts asking this guy questions about how what was his association with this guy by the name of Manuel Miranda and Jason Lundell, who were two associates of the Republican Judiciary Committee, you know, staffers, who hacked into...
Oh, that's right.
I literally almost fell off my chair last night.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Hacked into, because a lot of people didn't know this story.
I'm sorry. They hacked into the Democratic Judiciary Senate Committee's computers.
Right.
From, like, the fall of 2001 to the spring of 2003.
To find out what they were talking about and how they were going to resist some of these right-wing judges.
Right, and I'm sitting there, why isn't this in the mainstream media? Why isn't these guys up on charges, these corrupt Republicans? And then I was reading some articles where...
There's an investigation going on, Mike.
Excuse me?
They're still investigating it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Hatch went ahead and made a statement in the paper saying that that he doubts that there'll be criminal prosecution. Patrick Leahy says, well, yeah, I think we got a case here, but nobody's doing anything about it.
No, it's my
I mean, this is worse than Watergate.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that those staffers were released. They were probably promoted to somewhere in the Justice Department, but I believe I'm correct here that it's an ongoing investigation. They're still, you know, these folks can't even figure out who sent anthrax through the mail, much less something like this.
They said... There was 4,670 pages that they were able to get their hands on, 4,607, like close to 5,000 pages of notes. And then one of these guys, I think this guy Jason Lundell, went ahead and actually filed ethics charges against Senator Kennedy and Senator Durbin for having meetings with special interest groups that have to do with picking judiciary nominees.
Yes.
I mean, I last night, it was 2:30 in the morning, I'm like, you know, you can't even watch TV late at night anymore.
I know. I trust me, I understand exactly what you're talking about, Mike.
I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, thanks for checking in, pal.
All right, thank you.
All right, stay in touch. Stay in touch. Marcus is calling from Oklahoma. Marcus, welcome to the program.
Mike, Kathy, how the hell are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Marcus, how are you?
Oh, I do have a little blade work going to the knife. I was under the weather last time I talked to you, but I'm back in fighting shape, man.
Well, that's good. That's good. I hope they didn't remove something that shouldn't be removed.
I hope they didn't add that it shouldn't be there like a computer chip.
That's for real. That's for real.
Well, that'd be a devastating thing for them if I ever found out. But, I think that that Bush clown and his minus zero constituents, they got a medical plan for him. We all need to get together and examine their heads with hammers. You know, I got a medical plan.
Now, be careful, Marcus, you see, because that sounds like a bad thing. You mean those little toy air-filled hammers that the kids play with, don't you?
You know, Mike, I'm one of them guys that don't give a rat death. I'm out of New York.
Yeah, but I know that. But I know, and you know, and our vast and erudite audience knows, and the people from the NSA, Marcus, who monitor the program and your phone calls, they know too that we're talking about those little air vinyl hands.
Here's my message to the NSA. F off. I could give a rat's ass about the MSA or anything. Little government, okay? Marcus. I mean, I got too much on them. They don't want to mess with me. Mike, you're talking to a man who ain't filled out a tax form since 99.
I understand, Marcus. I know they can't mess with you. I understand.
But I want to ask you another thing I want to ask you, too. Did you do an advertisement for a motorcycle thing?
No. Did what? Did I see an advertisement?
Yeah, for a motorcycle advertisement on TV.
No. What about it?
So there's a Mike Malloy on there, and I thought it was you, and they took it off so quick. I said, it must have been him. They don't want him on TV.
Nuh-uh. That's not me. That's probably, you know, I don't have a face for television, Marcus. I got a face for radio.
There you go. But hey, did you see that our interview of Hannity did with the new Black Panther defending Cynthia McKinney down there?
No, and I don't want to see anything like that. I can't.
Oh, man. Sorry, but yeah, you do, Mike. You know why?
Why?
That Sean Hannity is a dog with nine tails.
Well,
That Black Panther was so intimidating to Sean Hannity that he tucked all nine of them tails. And he was a little, you know, which is what liberals need to understand.
Right.
In front of with a neocon. You know, be ready to slap the hell out of
them. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sean Hannity put somebody from the new Black Panthers on his program?
Yeah. I mean, he was such a wimp. You know, the tough talking and name calling and all that with people they really hate.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so bad, it's like, Sean, if I see you on the street, I'm going to slap the hell out of you. He was like a little old wimp. I mean, like a little old pink panty-wearing wimp that he is. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Marcus, I got to leave there. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're still alive. I'm starting to wonder, you know, where I should send the flowers, but I'm glad to hear from you, all right?
All right, brother.
All right, stay in touch. We'll hear from you again. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seeker. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio. I love to hear from people we haven't heard from for a while. It's like family. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's family. Oh, yeah, this is Air America.
Maybe Hannity will call in.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Must you sacrifice your values to be a successful investor? At Pax World, we don't think so. We offer you the opportunity to invest with your values. We also believe companies meeting higher social and environmental standards are better long-term investments. Pax World, socially responsible mutual fund since 1971. Available with a low $250 minimum investment.
You should consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. For this and other important information, please obtain a fund prospectus by calling 1-800-767-1729 or online at paxworld.com. Please read the prospectus carefully before investing.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. The man said to be responsible for a nightclub fire that killed 100 people in Rhode Island in 2003 has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Dan Beakley, the one-time tour manager for the rock band Great White, had pled guilty to 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter. He lit the pyrotechnics display that sparked the blaze during a concert. The judge in the case imposed a 15-year sentence, but suspended 11 of the years of that term.
There is no sentence which could be imposed today, or in fact sustainable by law, which could possibly reflect the value of the lives lost, or in any way bring back the wonderful, unique people into the lives of those who love them.
Beakley issued a tearful apology, saying he did not intend to hurt anyone. On Capitol Hill, the House has approved an extension of federal tax breaks worth about $70 billion. The vote was 244 to 185, largely along party lines. The plan offers average families protection from the alternative minimum tax, which was originally intended for wealthy people who use tax shelters. But because it has not been adjusted for inflation, many middle-class families would have to pay the tax if the relief measure wasn't extended. The legislation, which also lowers taxes on interest and dividends, now goes to the Senate. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates 0.25 point Wednesday, increasing the federal funds rate to 5%. That rate covers overnight loans between banks. In the wake of the hike, most banks raised their prime rate. The prime rate is a benchmark used for home loans and credit cards. Stock prices generally fell on the news of the rate hike because it will cost more for investors who trade on margin. Oil prices rose again Wednesday above $72 a barrel. Whirlpool Corporation has announced it will cut 4,500 jobs. The losses will come from the closure of three plants and by consolidating corporate offices and other facilities. The move comes on the heels of Whirlpool's acquisition of rival Maytag. President Bush says he thinks his brother, Florida Governor Jeb Bush, would make what he calls a great president, but the younger Bush has declined, saying, "I'm not running for president." You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. As promised, let's go right back to phone calls here. Chris is calling from Dallas, Texas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You are awesome, dude. I really appreciate being able to get your show, even though I've had to follow you from Sirius to XM and whatnot over the years. You're the bomb, man.
That's what happens when you're in radio, though. For most of us, you bounce around all over the place with huge gaps of unemployment stacked in there just to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's for sure. I grew up around radio, but the reason I'm calling tonight, you opened with a little Christian bit, and I have to say, as somebody who's read the Bible and believes in Jesus, I don't go to church. You know, they pretty much didn't want me since I was from a broken home, so I've kind of been looking from the outside, and I have to say that George Bush, he's not a Christian, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be Christian, you have to be Christ-like, and what Christ-like thing has the man done?
Yeah.
Anything?
Not that I'm aware of. As a matter of fact, he probably would have been one of the people that, according to the stories, Jesus would have driven out of the temple.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he threw the money changers out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that, you know, you were talking about Leviticus with gay people. I love gay people. You know, there's people. You know, there are brothers and sons and daughters just like Mary Chaney. And you talked about Leviticus. But, you know, Leviticus also says we're not supposed to eat shellfish or trim our beards. But, you know, I don't see Pat Robertson outside of Joe's Crab Shack or anything like that.
Well, you know, I see my take, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but my take, the so-called Old Testament is a history of a tribe of people who wandered the desert 5,000-6,000 years ago. It was their creation myth. It was their admonitions and prohibitions about diet, so they wouldn't all die of some kind of food poisoning. It was fear of the unknown, so they invented Yahweh or whatever the name these tribal people used. And somehow the Christians have co-opted that history of the Jewish people and used it now as a predictor of their God. And their God is different from the Jewish God, because the Christian God is a tripartite God. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whereas the Jews never got into that nonsense. They just said, no, he's just this really seriously pissed off dude. If you get him angry, he will, you know, he'll kill every firstborn in your family, so watch out.
Yeah, well, that kind of almost sounds like Bush.
Well,
which is kind of scary.
Well, it is indeed. All right, well, Chris, let me move on. I want to get some calls,
man,
in here. Thanks for checking in. I'm glad you found the program again. I do appreciate the persistence. I do. Les is calling from Chattanooga. Les, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy Thursday morning, partner.
Oh, thank you, Les. I appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I don't know what this guy's doing. I peddled insurance for years, and I never put one of these deadline things on. I was going to charge him more money if he didn't buy the policy from me now.
And, but this is not insurance. This is not a medical a medicine add-on. This is a scam. This is robbery.
Penalizing us for not buying something. That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, I've been 3/4 of a century hanging out in here, and I've never seen anything like it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm in good health, and when I was eligible for the Medicare thing, I looked at the premium for the year, and I started depositing it in a savings account, and I chuckered over, you know, over 10 grand. So but somebody's making money. I learned all that stuff with that insurance stuff. Well, listen, take the rest of the day off.
All right, thanks. I'll do it, Les. I appreciate your offer. Thank you, sir. Okay, you ready to go home, Kath? I'm ready. Let's walk out. Goodbye.
See ya.
Just kidding. Johnny's calling from Missouri. Johnny, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Johnny. How are you?
I'm all right. I just wanted to call in and mention, I saw the interview on Larry King tonight with Mary Chaney, and I had call in and agree with you. I'm also a gay man. I'm a truck driver out here, and I about had it with Mary Chaney and her father.
Mm.
You know, in the state of Georgia, they, I think they're coming out with another amendment or a ballot initiative to, ban, I think, if gays from adopting children now. Because last election cycle, they did, I think, a ban for gay marriage. Now they're coming out again. I guess it was so successful. They're going to come out now with, banning gays from, adopting children. Which, you know, and I, she's sitting there saying that, you know, she didn't have a problem with what her father and the Republican Party stood for.
Well, Mary Cheney, if anyone who can make statements like that, I'm Italian and Irish. So if I were to say that all Italian and Irish people are sick, psychotic murderers or mafia members, I think people look at me and say, Jesus, that guy's a self-hating Italian. If Jewish folk speak out vehemently against their beliefs and their religion, oh, that's a self-hating Jew. If black folk, oh, that's a self-hating black. If here's Mary Cheney justifying a poisonous attitude against gay people that's put out there by the people she worked for and the people in her family. Now, if that's not somebody who has some mental problems, I don't know what is. I just don't.
Yeah, I totally agree. Also, I'm black, and I grew up in the church in Georgia, in the Baptist church, and I heard all the speeches about, you know, I'm going to burn in hell, Leviticus, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I actually believed that stuff for about the first 25 years of my life, and I finally had enough of it. I said I'd had enough.
It's hard to get free, but if you're determined to reclaim your own soul, you can do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, yeah, I was just surprised that she could sit there and so flippantly defend her. I know she loves her father. You know, I don't like him, but, you know, that's her dad, but she's trying to defend him. But to defend the rest of the Republican Party and their homophobic, race-baiting, and all the other stuff they're doing, I couldn't stomach it.
I hear you. Johnny, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. You take
care.
All right,
thank you.
All right, drive safely. Yeah, like Johnny said, like we said earlier, it's her father. So, you know, blood is thicker than water for sure, and you're going to defend. But, you know, I have to wonder, I've seen so many documentaries on the History Channel about the Nazis, and they were good family men, some of them. Himmler? Was it Goering? These were people who designed mass murder. These are people who I'm not talking just about the attacks against innocent civilian populations in the course of invading other countries. I'm talking about the death camps specifically here. These are people who designed means and methods to butcher children and butcher women and men. And, you know, the gender, the age is at this point kind of immaterial except for the innocence of the children. And yet these evil snakes, the documentaries will show them playing with their children, and when the kids were little, when the kids became adolescent. And I just wonder, do you love your father or your mother when your father or your mother is responsible, and this is a matter of degrees, responsible for mass death, okay? Responsible for leading people into a morass of religious confusion. I'm thinking about Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. Or do you love your parent when you know that your parent uses your own sexual orientation or gender orientation as a means of hurting and harming other people? How do you do that? How do you love somebody who is your parent, who is causing so much anguish, grief, anxiety, fear, pain, death, whatever it is that the evil old bastard is causing, how do you still say, well, you know, that's my dad or that's my mom, and I've got to love them? I don't know. I don't know how that's done. I really don't. I'm sure somebody will send me an email and tell me how it's done and send me all the psychological terms involved, but I have to believe that any kid who attempts that eventually has to go insane, has to go utterly gibbering, sitting in the corner, eating his or her own hair, mad.
Baby, what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do?
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
I wear my sunglasses.
afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
You know, most doctors agree that heart disease runs in the family, so I suspect Mary Cheney will have karma bite her in the butt.
Well, I guess I was thinking during the break, if Dick Cheney dies anytime in the near future, I wonder if Fred Phelps and his organization will show up at the funeral condemning Dick Cheney because he didn't come out against his own daughter. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if they'll be able to do that, because yesterday the House passed a bill for, it's called the Respect for America's Fallen Heroes Act. It was 408-3 that they voted to keep the Fred Phelps people away from the military funerals. They say that they're protesting it because it's a sign of divine punishment for America's tolerance of homosexuals. Now, the Republicans are going to be running around puffing their chest out now and saying, yeah, look, we did something against, you know, a Christian right group. You know, don't put us down. Tell us that.
Yeah, well, passing that bill is insanity. It'll be challenged in court, and it will be overturned. There is no question about it. There are ways to avoid monsters, half-human beasts like Fred Phelps and his bastardly family. There are ways to avoid them, but to pass legislation like this is unconstitutional. It's not going to stand the first court challenge that it has to face.
The irony in this bill is these people are passing this because it just happens to be troops. They're protesting troops that aren't even homosexual. But ask any of these 408 people if they would pass a bill on hate crimes legislation or not to vote no on any law that says my partner and I can't have equal rights. They'll say, oh, no, of course not.
There you go.
Yeah, they're hypocrites. Nothing.
Oh,
but
hypocrisy, hypocrisy of a scale that you and I, Philip, could never, ever achieve. These people have made an art form out of hypocrisy. It is astonishing. They have built mountains. They have built the Great Wall of China in hypocrisy in this country in the past 10, 12 years. It's just unbelievable what these so-called Republicans have done. Astonishing.
And this is an issue here that Mary Cheney, if she gave a damn about anybody but herself, which apparently none of these people do, and the Cheneys, of course, don't, you know, this is an issue where she could have came out and said, hey, yeah, this is wrong. This Phelps group, you know, a bunch of insane bastards going to funerals of the troops, protesting him with fag signs, you know, that's wrong. She could have came out and said that, but instead she points the finger at John Kerry.
It's unbelievable.
What a hypocrite, man. I'm so sick of the hypocrites.
I know, and I have to wonder to what degree Mary Cheney has become so brainwashed, or maybe it's a Stockholm syndrome that has her, you know, the so-called Stockholm syndrome that says eventually you begin to identify with the righteousness of your captor's cause. Maybe she has internalized her own form of homophobia, and it comes out like this. Who knows? I have no idea. It's sad. It makes me sad, and at the same time, it makes me angry. Hey, thanks, Philip. Thanks for checking in. All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care. Ellen is calling from San Francisco. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Be careful there. See, you didn't listen to me, and I think you just fell off a cliff. Are you still there? Ellen? Well, I hope nothing bad happened. Ed is calling from, not Ed. Ed, never mind Ed. Ed just got there. Noah is calling from Denver. Hi, Noah. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Or good afternoon. God, what time is it?
Does it really matter? But
no.
Hi, Noah.
Hey, I wanted to talk about how you were talking about the economic situations and such like that.
Yeah.
I think they're actually designing the whole situation to collapse so they can basically get rid of democracy. The elite don't like democracy, and the only way to get rid of it is they destroy the economy so people will basically choose a dictator over death.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, what happened in the Depression was back then people actually had a positive connotation of the word fascism because they were so poor, they were so destitute that they would have done anything. And the only thing that saved America was somebody who had a true vision, and that was Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we have somebody else who's going to come along who has the same vision as Roosevelt, I'm afraid of what these people are doing to us. I'm afraid of what's going to happen with the housing market when that blows.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be something like what happened in Japan in the 90s when pretty much, you know, everybody was out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
They're still recovering to this day. But what they're doing is just absolutely, I think it's designed to destroy our democracy so that the elite come out on top and everybody else just becomes servants.
Well, I do agree with you. That's always been the classic struggle, though, has it not, between the ruling class and the working class. Hey, thanks for checking in. I appreciate you calling. No, I got a break here. You take care. Call us again, all right? All right. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy, and when we return tonight's reading, and there's very little left, George Orwell's 1984. Stay with us.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
We are so close to the end of George Orwell's seminal novel, 1984, that I'm starting to get dizzy. When we left off last night, Julia and Winston have met subsequent to their mutual betrayal at the hands of O'Brien in the Ministry of Love. The torture was so intense. Both of them experienced Room 101. So they have met, and whatever they felt for each other in the earlier parts of the novel, of course, has been replaced by a stone-cold emptiness. That's, after all, what betrayal does. And they talk for a while and walk beside each other for a while, and then they decide to part. And Winston says, "We must meet again." And Julia says, "Yes, we must meet again." And he followed her for a while, but after a while she drifted off in one direction, and he just stood there for a moment, and that's where we'll pick it up. The next moment, not altogether by accident, he allowed himself to become separated from her by a small knot of people. He made a half-hearted attempt to catch up, then slowed down, turned, and made off in the opposite direction. When he had gone 50 meters, he looked back. The street was not crowded, but already he could not distinguish her. Any one of a dozen hurrying figures might have been hers. Perhaps her thickened, stiffened body was no longer recognizable from behind.
"At the time when it happened,"
she had said,
"you do mean it."
He had meant it. He had not merely said it. He had wished it. He had wished that she, and not he, should be delivered over to the... Something changed in the music that trickled from the telescreen. A cracked and jeering note, a yellow note, came into it. And then, perhaps it was not happening. Perhaps it was only a memory taking on the semblance of sound. A voice was singing... "Under the spreading chestnut tree, I sold you and you sold me." The tears welled up in his eyes. A passing waiter noticed that his glass was empty and came back with the gin bottle. He took up his glass and sniffed at it. The stuff grew not less but more horrible with every mouthful he drank. But it had become the element he swam in. It was his life, his death, and his resurrection. It was gin that sank him into stupor every night, and gin that revved him up every morning. When he woke, seldom before 1100, with gummed-up eyelids and fiery mouth and a back that seemed to be broken, it would have been impossible even to rise from the horizontal if it had not been for the bottle and teacup placed beside the bed overnight. Through the midday hours, he sat with glazed face, the bottle handy, listening to the telescreen. From 15 to closing time, he was a fixture at the chestnut tree. No one cared what he did any longer. No whistle woke him. No telescreen admonished him. Occasionally, perhaps twice a week, he went to a dusty, forgotten-looking office in the Ministry of Truth and did a little work, or what was called work. He had been appointed to a subcommittee of a subcommittee, which had sprouted from one of the innumerable committees dealing with minor difficulties that arose in the compilation of the 11th edition of the Newspeak Dictionary. They were engaged in producing something called an interim report, but what it was that they were reporting on, he had never definitely found out. It was something to do with the question of whether commas should be placed inside brackets or outside. There were four others on the committee, all of them persons similar to himself. There were days when they assembled and then promptly dispersed again, frankly admitting to one another that there was not really anything to be done. But there were other days when they settled down to their work and almost eagerly, making a tremendous show of entering up their minutes and drafting long memoranda which were never finished, when the argument as to what they were supposedly arguing grew extraordinarily involved and abstruse, and with subtle haggling over definitions, enormous digressions, quarrels, threats even, to appeal to higher authority. And then suddenly the life would go out of them and they would sit round the table looking at one another with extinct eyes, like ghosts fading at cockcrow. The telescreen was silent for a moment. Winston raised his head again. The bulletin. But no, they were merely changing the music. He had the map of Africa behind his eyelids. The movement of the armies was a diagram, a black arrow tearing vertically southward, and a white arrow horizontally eastward across the tail of the first. As though for reassurance, he looked up at the imperturbable face in the portrait. Was it conceivable that the second arrow did not even exist? His interest flagged again. He drank another mouthful of gin, picked up the white knight, and made a tentative move. Check. But it was evidently not the right move because, uncalled, a memory floated into his mind. He saw a candle-lit room with a vast white counterpaned bed, and himself, a boy of 9 or 10, sitting on the floor, shaking a dice box and laughing excitedly. His mother was sitting opposite him and also laughing. It must have been about a month before she disappeared. It was a moment of reconciliation when the nagging hunger in his belly was forgotten and his earlier affection for her had temporarily revived. He remembered the day well. A pelting, drenching day when the water streamed down the window pane and the light indoors was too dull to read by. The boredom of the two children in the dark, cramped bedroom became unbearable. Winston whined and grizzled, made futile demands for food, fretted about the room, pulling everything out of place, and kicking the wainscoting until the neighbors banged on the wall, while the younger child wailed intermittently. In the end, his mother said, "Now be good, and I'll buy you a toy, a lovely toy. You'll love it." And then she had gone out in the rain to a little general shop which was sporadically open nearby, and came back with a cardboard box containing an outfit of snakes and ladders. He could still remember the smell of the damp cardboard. It was a miserable outfit. The board was cracked, and the tiny wooden dice were so ill-cut that they would hardly lie on their backs. Winston looked at the thing sulkily and without interest. But then his mother lit a piece of candle, and they sat down on the floor to play. Soon he was wildly excited and shouting with laughter as the tiddlywinks climbed hopefully up the ladders and then came slithering down the snakes again almost to the starting point. They played 8 games, winning 4 each. His tiny sister, too young to understand what the game was about, had sat propped up against a bolster laughing because the others were laughing. For a whole afternoon they had been happy together. As in his earlier childhood, he pushed the picture out of his mind. It was a false memory. He was troubled by false memories occasionally. They did not matter so long as one knew them for what they were. Some things had happened. Others had not happened. He turned back to the chessboard and picked up the white knight again. Almost in the same instant, it dropped onto the board with a clatter. He had started as though a pin had run through him. A shrill trumpet call had pierced the air. It was the bulletin. Victory! It always meant victory when a trumpet call preceded the news. A sort of electric drill ran through the cafe. Even the waiters had started and pricked up their ears. The trumpet call had let loose an enormous volume of noise. Already an excited voice was gabbling from the telescreen, but even as it started, it was almost drowned by the roar of cheering from outside. The news had run round the streets like magic. He could hear just enough of what was issuing from the telescreen to realize that it had all happened as he had foreseen. A vast seaborne armada had secretly assembled a sudden blow in the enemy's rear, the white arrow tearing across the tail of the black. Fragments of triumphant phrases pushed themselves through the din. Vast strategic maneuver. Perfect coordination. Utter rout. 500,000 prisoners. Complete demoralization. Control of the whole of Africa. Bring the war within measurable distance of its end victory. Greatest victory in human history. Victory! 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 Under the table, Winston's feet made convulsive movements. He had not stirred from his seat, but in his mind he was running, swiftly running. He was with the crowds outside, cheering himself deaf. He looked up again at the portrait of Big Brother, the colossus that bestrode the world, the rock against which the hordes of Asia dashed themselves in vain. He thought how 10 minutes ago, yes, only 10 minutes, there had still been equivocation in his heart, and he wondered whether the news from the front would be a victory or defeat. It was more than the Eurasian army that had perished. Much had changed in him since that first day in the Ministry of Love, but the final, indispensable healing change had never happened until this moment. The voice from the telescreen was still pouring forth its tale of prisoners and booty and slaughter, but the shouting outside had died down a little. The waiters were turning back to their work. One of them approached with the gin bottle. Winston, sitting in a blissful dream, paid no attention as his glass was filled. He was not running or cheering any longer. He was back in the ministry of love with everything forgiven, his soul white as snow. He was in the public dock confessing everything, implicating everybody. He was walking down the white-tiled corridor with the feeling of walking in sunlight and an armed guard at his back. The long-hoped-for bullet was entering his brain. He gazed up at the enormous face. 40 years it had taken him to learn what kind of smile was hidden beneath the dark mustache. Oh, cruel, needless misunderstanding. Oh, stubborn, self-willed exile from the loving breast. 2 gin-scented tears trickled down the sides of his nose. But it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother.
Walk me out in the morning dew, honey. Please walk me out in the morning dew sometime. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. I'm sorry. Can't walk you out in no morning dew. But I heard a young man cry.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm going to smoke up. Want to get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Thank you.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Stan Stolpiak, who engineered the program in New York City tonight. Dee Neal is our associate producer. She answered your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Ben Birch, White Rose Society, archives program. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And, of course, Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Let's squeeze in a few more phone calls if we can. D.B. Cooper is calling in again from Michigan. Hey, D.B., I always want to ask you about the money when you bailed out of that airplane, but I know you don't want to answer, so let's just get right to the purpose of your call. Hi, D.B.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Been listening to you all night. I did want to say that with what's going on these days, I'm thinking of getting somebody to repack my parachute because I don't know how. But nonetheless... My first question was about Medicare Part D.
Yeah.
My mother is going to be 90 years old in December. She doesn't take any medication right now. But
wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Not even blood pressure. I think it's the gin and vermouth that keeps her going.
That'll do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, she's been curious what to do, and the deadline's coming down. From what I've heard from you and what I'm pretty much gathering is it's going to cost her money even though she doesn't need medication. Is that pretty much the gist of it, or don't you know?
I don't know. I really don't. If she's not actually buying anything, even if she signs up, then I would assume no money. But I don't know. The Bush Pharmaceutical Industrial Complex probably has figured out a way to get into your mother's pocketbook, too.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to not having happen. So I'll just look into it myself. That was my first part. The other one has to do with, I'm sure you listen as much as you can to the Majority Report. And there's this guy that's a speechwriter for Bush.
Yeah.
You know, for the White House. And there was an order given down, so the USDA is supposed to put in all this good news about the war in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
You know, he managed to wing into this conversation that he had with Janine and Mr. Cedar, whatever his name is. Yeah, he managed to wing this thing into here about accepting, we're going to tell all these countries that we conquer to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal savior. And then you can go on to praying whichever direction you decide to do, you know, and expect your certain amount of virgins when you do whatever we ask you to do and all that kind of stuff. That's the good news that they're trying to incorporate into these speeches. I suppose those speeches are for the other countries.
Yeah, this has been done before. It was called the Inquisition.
Yeah, well, I know it's sounding much more like the Crusades than I even want to even believe. I mean, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Of course, that takes us back to a certain Fireside Theater thing, I believe it is. Or no, Monty Python, excuse me.
I think it's Monty Python.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not surprised. If you've been paying attention as much as you can, like I have, as much as I can, you will find there is a whole cadre of high-ranking military officers who have squirmed and bored their way into leadership positions in the United States military, all branches, but especially for some reason the Air Force and the Army, who are religious fanatics of the Christian bent to the same degree that, I don't know, pick a name. Osama bin Laden is a fanatic to the Muslim bent.
Yeah.
These are people who have no problem condemning thousands to death, these military officers, because they figure, well, you know, confess your sins and welcome Christ into your heart and you'll go to heaven, so it really doesn't matter. In much the same way as Osama inspires his suicide bombers, well, you know, confess your sins and welcome God into your heart, and when you blow yourself and other people up, you'll go immediately to paradise. So these people are sick. I wish them all into the cornfield, all of them. I wish I had the power to do that, because if I did, there would be swishing sounds as these people went flying through the night air, Muslim and Christian, into the cornfield, from whence they would never be heard again.
Correctly. That actually gives me a little bit of a bent towards that movie, Children of the Corn.
Well, no, it's a science fiction short story that The title of which and the author of which totally escapes me, but before this phone call is over, I'll have 30 emails telling me what it was. But
great.
It was a very good short story. It wound up on, I don't know, years and years ago. I think it was made into a teleplay. But it was one of the bright lights of the science fiction world, the fantasy science fiction world, who wrote this short story, Billy somebody, who, when he got pissed off, he isolated his family in the village, part of the village. It just floated in space, and he had a cornfield, and when people made him angry, he would put them in the cornfield.
That was the condemning factor. Okay.
Actually, into the cornfield. All right, listen, I got to go. Thanks, DB. Always good to hear from you. Hope to hear from you again. Take care. Take care. I'm just out of steam for tonight. You ever feel that way when you finish a novel? You feel like, oh, damn. Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for participating tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. It's Friday. Yay. So take care. All right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean. This is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.